From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
I live in San Ramon.
Larkspur in Marin County.
Simpson Beach.
I live in Noe Valley in Novato.
I live in San Anselmo right next to Fairfax.
Coming up, teens who had lost all hope of finishing high school find a different experience on Treasure Island.
Any other school, they don't care. If you do your homework, you do it. If you don't, you don't. And here it's like, they push you, they don't give up on you.
Then we catch up with local songwriter Madeline Tascan.
I love composing and I love collaborating with people and just creating something that I couldn't do on my own.
And we'll tell you the story behind this week's Audiograph Mystery Sound. A perfect show today on Cross Currents. Stay with us. There's a lot of talk in education circles these days about changing the Common Core curriculum or switching from books to computers. These are important topics, but Terry Delane, the principal of Treasure Island's Life Learning Academy High School, is focused on making some more significant changes.
We have a wonderful school that is a small school on Treasure Island that is actually changing kids' lives.
What she really means is saving kids' lives.
When you have 90% of the kids who are killed in San Francisco killed because they're dropped out of school, it is my job to make sure they stay at school. And I tell the teachers to say, it's your job.
KALW's Ryan Miller visited Treasure Island and got a tour of the school, led by two students who'd initially given up before finding this educational home.
Lamont Skinner takes two buses from his Oakland, California home to get here, to go to school.
Yeah, I mean, it's like in the middle of nowhere, really. Like, it's really nothing around, no stores or anything. Like, you don't see that many people on the island.
School is the last place he used to want to be. He started high school in Hercules. By 11th grade, he had already changed high schools three times. Most of 10th and 11th grade, he was absent.
I wasn't really in class. I was just like sitting around. Sometimes I'd play basketball or gamble.
But then he saw how worried his mom was about his future.
I was thinking, oh, I'm so far behind. Like, it doesn't really matter. I won't catch back up. And then I heard about the school, so I'm like, I might as well go here. Like,
when I first came here, I'm like, oh, my God, where am I at? Like, are you sure there's a school up here? And then you just see this small, real small school. You're like, oh, wow. But like when you come here, it's full of life, like its own little world in here.
And you feel a good vibe once you go in here. You feel really good, really happy.
That's Carla Seha. Like Skinner, she's not a big fan of school in general. She used to get into fights all the time.
Walking down my neighborhood, you have to be careful sometimes.
Seha doesn't ride the city bus. Too many chances for a fight, being on the wrong bus in the wrong neighborhood. Instead, a school-owned minivan picks her up along with other students who could get into trouble on their own.
Once I get to the island, it's like I feel safe. Like I feel like nothing could happen to me. Feel the difference between being over there and then being in the island.
Seha lives in San Francisco's Bayview District. Like Lamont Skinner, she had never been to Treasure Island.
I was like, what is this? Like, where is the school? And then I get in there and there's like not even a lot of kids. And I'm just wondering like how it was going to be. And then I started realizing like, oh, okay. Like, I see it's not like no other school.
Now we finna take you around. Show you this great school. You know, we getting it painted right now. This Terry office, great lady.
Hi, how are you?
So nice.
Terry
to meet you.
Delane, I'm the principal here.
Here is Life Learning Academy. It's a San Francisco Unified Charter High School. This specialized program is funded in equal parts by public school funds, the Department of Children, Youth, and Their Families. Then a final third comes from private foundations and individual donations.
We get kids that either no one else wants, or we get kids that are lost in a big school system.
San Francisco has 18 general education high schools that range in size from 170 to 2,500 students. Here, the total enrollment stays around 60. And the student-to-teacher ratio is about 6 to 1. The only way, says Delane, that her kids will get the attention they need.
All of the kids here are what people consider at risk. And it doesn't mean all of them have been in jail, but a good 50, 60% have at one time or another been arrested. 30% is on probation.
Delane also remembers her tough times growing up.
It has always been in my brain, my heart, my soul, my toes, is to find a way to reach kids that don't feel like they can be reached. I was using heroin from age 14. Spent a year locked up in Kalliani Youth Prison in Nevada at 16. By the time I was 20, I overdosed for the third time.
Delaine was finally ready to get help. She heard about Delancey Street, a self-help program for drug addicts and people with criminal pasts. While she was there, she went back to school, earned 3 degrees, and then they helped her open this school 15 years ago.
This is probably something that came from ancient alchemy, actually. If anybody's ever sat around a campfire, what's the first thing people want to do? I have little kids, and they all want to throw stuff in the fire, but...
In chemistry class, 8 students perch on stools in a darkened room, surrounding the teacher as he dips various elements into a blue, hot, open flame.
That one was copper hydroxide. This one is copper chloride. People probably noticed early on the different rocks and different things they threw in a fire changed the color. Anybody got a guess on copper chloride? Okay, here we go.
When I was at my other high school, I really felt like high school wasn't for me, and I also thought about dropping out. And now that I'm here, I see that I would have made a big mistake, because now that I'm here, I love school. I love coming to school every morning because I know that I have a lot of support and a lot of people that really do care and love me here.
On my way to find Lamont Skinner in his class, I'm struck by how quiet it is here. No sound of bells or slamming lockers. Quiet enough for me to hear a song coming from one of the classrooms.
Do you know about the USA? Do you know about the government? Can you tell me about the Constitution?
I follow the music to find an American history class in session.
Okay, so I have given you guys a copy of the Bill of Rights. Okay, Lamont, will you start and read the first one?
The Bill of Rights, a transcription, Amendment 1.
I'll say I like the extra attention because, like, they help you and they also don't judge you. So, like, if it was something that you, like, already should have learned, they won't be like, oh, you didn't learn that already. Like, they'll help you.
It took both Skinner and Seha several weeks to settle in and start going to classes regularly. But there's a lot to keep them interested here.
Okay, well, this is the greenhouse. You know, usually, like, we be in here growing herbs and fruits and plant starters. I like the garden.
Now we're going to show you the beehive we have, and it's very cool. It's very exciting. A lot of people are scared of bees, but when you're in this class, it teaches you not to be afraid.
Not being afraid is just one of the life learning skills Principal Delaine is trying to teach here.
We don't have any cops here. We don't have security here. We have kids that have given me their word in the interview to nonviolence.
Yeah, she makes every student pledge to be nonviolent, like, because, like, there are people from different locations that don't like each other, but, like, they still won't fight, like, when they're in the school or, like, even outside the school.
It opened in 98 when I was born, and it hasn't been not one fight.
No fighting is only the beginning. The bigger goal is having everyone actually get along with each other. And just like a family, it starts around the dining table. We walk into a room buzzing with activity.
I'm Sabina. I'm the chef instructor. Today we're making sticky coconut chicken, and I'm about to go put some foil on my rice.
We all have to be a community. We all have to be there for each other. We all have to support each other. We all have to, if one of us is feeling down, we're not going to go and step on them. We're going to help them get up and make them feel better.
And when they aren't eating and chatting together at lunch, there's another life learning skill on the table, a focal point for this school's mission.
The job training and job placement program has been probably the most important thing we've done since we started.
Sean Lyons works full time, setting up internships for students during the school year and landing them paid jobs during the summer.
Ongoing paid employment is really our goal for every one of our graduates. We want to have every single graduating student in their senior year in ongoing paid employment.
Life Learning Academy has an extraordinary success rate. Compared to the California high school graduation rate of 80%, this school boasts that 99% of students earn their diploma and 85% go on to earn a college degree. So students here can expect academic success, workplace experience, and gain a new perspective about learning.
It helps you grow up, and it helps you realize how it is going to be when you graduate high school and whatever you decide to do.
On Treasure Island, I'm Ryan Miller for Cross Currents.
You can hear Lamont and Carla reporting from their summer internships at KALW.org. Click on Cross Currents. We're going to head to a kind of musical oasis.
The streets of Oakland are about to burst open. Take me away from here.
Berkeley-based musician Madeleine Tascain has been singing all her life, first back in Canada with her opera-singing mother and gold-mining father.
We lost all control.
And later, here in the Bay Area, with bands like Whisker Man and Antiochia. Now she's working on a solo album and getting ready for a European tour. We caught up with her for this episode of Bay Area Beats.
Take me away. Take me away from here.
Singing, we've always been singing in our house. My mom would sing everything around the house and walk around naked as well. That was my mom. Mom was always singing, and so we lived up in the sort of middle of BC, which is about 9 hours north of Vancouver, and we often would visit the Lower Mainland. So on car trips, we would always be doing rounds and harmonies, and my sisters would hold down the melody, and my mom would do the high harmony, and I'd hold down the bass or whatever. So that was really great introduction. And we always had a piano in the house. It never occurred to me that music was a thing that you could do as a choice, a career choice, until much, much later, after an architecture degree. And I was like, just kind of came back into it and very grateful for that.
All I need is good food in my belly and dirt on my...
I've also been really blessed to be exposed to a lot of different musical genres, and so it's kind of been a lot of change over the 8 years that I've been here. I was first in sort of the West African and Brazilian, and that was kind of my first in Colombian music when I first moved here, and then got into kind of folk soul blues with Whisker Man, and worked at Ashkenaz, so met some tons of musicians there, so... Yeah, it's pretty fascinating to see the really unique things that spring up out of this mulch. It's beautiful. Yeah, in San Francisco in the Mission District, I remember when I was first here, I was really blown away. I'm not fluent in Spanish, but I understand it, you know, decently well, but was really blown away with a lot of the comedy and the poetry and the activism coming out of the Mission District that was bilingual. And I think that really inspired me to want to move in back to my French and try to get back into French, because there's this beautiful thing that can only exist when you know both languages. There's little puns and word plays that can happen. And so, yeah. Okay, well, this one is a true story. It's about when my cousin and I were walking in this beautiful area in this kind of in the south of France near Montélimar, and the wind was practically pushing us up the mountain, and I didn't realize, but this is this wind called Le Mistral. It's a very powerful wind in the south of France, and apparently you're not supposed to sing along to the wind, so this is about what happened when I sang along to the lullaby of Le Mistral.
Our mothers once warned us never to sing along to the songs that the Mistral sings. For the Mistral is a playful and powerful wind, and the tale I tell you now is a testament.
Sometimes the music will come first, and the music, I'll just keep developing the music, keep playing the song over and over and over again, and the words kind of grow organically out of that. Sometimes they need a little prodding, but based more on the sound of the words rather than the literal meaning.
Lullaby. Michel, Michel, le Mistral nous appelle avec sa voix séduisante. Il chante,
I would be writing more in French if it wasn't so damn difficult. You really can't do a direct translation into French. There's a lot more nuance.
The sky turned to fire, the color of a deep red wine, and the clouds turned to cannons and fired at random, punctuating.
I think when I first started writing music, I was really comparing myself to other people who I really admired a lot. Rather than just taking bits of inspiration, which is now more what I try to do. I was sort of thinking, oh, the music, you know, I need to make the music better, I need to make the music better. And as soon as I just relaxed and felt like just whatever's, it's my job to just express what comes out of me, that kind of helped to give way a little bit more to my inner clown and just being myself on stage.
Cousin again, I was carried away by the wind. Michel, I cried, where have you gone? I've been carried.
That was singer Madeleine Tescan talking with KALW's Julie Kane. You can hear her this Sunday at the Freight and Salvage in Berkeley. To find out more, go to KALW.org and click on Cross Currents.
There you go.
Woo!
So beautiful. Oh, radio is funny.
I love it. It was gorgeous.
Oh, thank you.
You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. Now it's time for Audiograph, the Bay Area's sonic signature. Here's Audiograph's Julie Kane.
Today's Audiograph is all about timing. This weekend is the annual Golden Gate Kennel Club Dog Show at the Cow Palace in San Francisco. And so earlier this week, we aired a special Cross Currents show all about dogs. And that got listener Dorothy Emery's attention.
I'm a dog lover. I'm also a cat lover. And do you think that cat lovers are going to let you get by without doing a story on the cats in San Francisco or Oakland where I live? No way. I will appreciate your doing a story on cats as soon as possible.
Dorothy, we thought about that. So all week long, we've been playing this Audiograph mystery sound.
I like that one over there.
Which one?
The tabby. Felt like we had a connection.
A lot of people knew exactly what that was. How about you? To bring us the answer, we sent KALW's Jeremy Dalmas to a place where cats are definitely cooler than dogs.
It's around 10 in the morning, and this may sound like a traditional Oakland coffee shop, but listen closer. This is not exactly a normal coffee house. This is Cat Town Cafe, the very first cat cafe in America. Half coffee shop, half cat adoption center. But if you think there will be a Siamese lounging on the biscotti, think again. After getting my warm beverage, I stop by a little station.
What was your name one more time?
Jeremy.
Jeremy. Jeremy for one. Here is your 10 o'clock sticker.
Adam Mayet, one of the owners, checks me in.
And if you don't mind using a bit of hand sanitizer and looking over the rules before we go in, then you can go play with cats.
Awesome. Can't wait.
For the health of us humans, and the kitties too, The cats and the cafe are separated from one another by a small hallway. An airlock, or as they call it, a hairlock.
Come on in.
Hi. We've just entered the cat zone. The walls are covered in murals of famous cats, like the Cheshire Cat. There are iconic Oakland buildings, all cat tree-sized. They've got the Tribune Tower, Port of Oakland cargo cranes, and even the Dellums Federal Building, complete with a kitty bridge. And there are the stars themselves. Cats lounging on pillows, cats playing with cat toys, and cats perched on the buildings watching the action.
It seems like cat paradise. There's like so many toys and structures for them to climb. I think my house will be a downgrade.
Sarah Pritchard sips a pour of her coffee while she stalks the room looking for the perfect cat.
Anyone caught your...
Okay, I like that one over there.
Which one?
The tabby. I just felt like we had a connection.
The room is spotless, and there are no kitty smells. Founder Ann Dunn explains.
So every day we deep clean before we open. And it's, I would love to have somebody come video us trying to clean with 15 cats underfoot. Like you wipe a surface and there's a cat sitting right on top of it.
This is a slick operation. But Cat Town Cafe isn't really about the coffee.
For me, this is cat rescue, first and foremost. And the measure for me is how many cats are getting adopted.
Cat Town started as a group of volunteers. Before the cafe, they had more than 3 years of experience finding homes for cats.
Cage-free. This hopefully will become a model. Put them in an environment where they'll thrive and they'll get adopted more quickly. And so, and every time a cat gets adopted, it means we go to the shelter and we get another cat out of a cage. So,
the cats come from Oakland Animal Services, the municipal animal shelter.
My name is Vicky Bell, and I'm the volunteer coordinator and rescue liaison at Oakland Animal Services.
Belle says they can easily adopt out kittens. Adult cats, much harder.
And that's where like Cat Town would step in. They help us.
She mentions one specific cat.
Anchor. Oh, Anchor was a brownish tabby. He had been here for about almost 4 months. And Cat Town pulled him, and they got him through their foster program into the cafe. For sitting here for 4 months, he was adopted there within 2 hours.
Before the cafe opened, Cat Town adopted out around a dozen felines a month. Now, that number is up to around 30.
Having a nice warm cup of coffee and having a cat nearby, like you can see yourself with this animal and it's hard to say no.
To date, they found homes for 87 cats. Wait, make that 88.
You're getting a cat.
We're getting a cat.
Oh, wow.
Sarah Pritchard just made a new friend. His name, Guthrie.
Oh, no.
It's there in the little bed right now with the yellow eyes.
So watch out. The next time you grab a cappuccino, you might leave with a new family member.
I mean, I figured once we like got in here and we met all the cats, that it would be impossible to just like walk out without a cat.
In Oakland, cat-free, but with a coffee in hand, I'm Jeremy Dalmas for Cross Currents.
Our winner this week is Jane Terry. Congratulations. We're going to send you a KALW t-shirt. Thanks for listening and thanks for playing. I'm Julie Kane.
Well, you've heard from us. Now we'd love to hear from you. Email us at news@kalw.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter at KALW or call us at 415-264-7106. That's 415-264-7106. Because of you, we can proudly say we're listener-supported public radio. Our team includes Leela Day, Audrey Dilling, Sandhya Dirks, Rachel Dornhelm, Hannah Kingsley-Ma, Ashley Ann Krigbaum, Chris Hoff, Judy Silber, Raja Shah, Stephen Short, and Todd Whitney. Today's show was engineered by Seth Samuel. The line producer was Nina Gensler-Debs. Our managing editor is Jen Chien. Managing producer is Julie Kane. Ben Trefney is our news director. Our theme music is by the John Santos Quintet.
Everybody wants to be a cat. 'Cause the cat's the only cat who knows where it's at. Everybody's picking up on that feline beat.
because everything else is obsolete.
And this music is by San Francisco band Waters. They play on Saturday night at the Independent in the city. Music starts at 9 o'clock. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Babel.